Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson,
Mike Cosentino, and
Gary LeMaster.
Yeah, we have Gary LeMaster in the studio today. He's a producer for Democratic Perspective, and he's written the book called The Tea Party Book of Lies.
Tea Publican Book of Lies.
Sorry, Gary.
No problem.
What we want to talk about today is kind of a difficult subject. Now, we've taken up a whole series of lies and distortion, whether it's about Solyndra, whether it's about Fast and Furious, whether it's about, we've done dozens of these.
Particularly about
the economy. But what we want to do is to, and this is going to be difficult for us, but we're trying to understand the impact of lies, distortions, and conspiracy theories on the civil society of the United States.
Yeah, what we were trying to get at was the impact on public policy decision making, voters. Does the lying impact voting, and what impact does it have on society at large?
So, if we have these big conspiracy theories, does that undercut our ability to say there are real differences between Republicans and Democrats? Or Democrats, we believe in Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. We believe in a safety net. We now have many Republicans who once the Republican Party believed in these things, or they didn't like them, but they believed in them, and they would allow them, and now they don't. So there are legitimate differences. There's a real difference in world perspective between Democrats now and Republicans.
Let's start with the birth.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about deep distortions of the body politic by generating lies. Wow. And right. Mike's right. The one we want to start with is the whole birther thing.
Yeah.
Now, the birther thing gets going when Obama runs for election. And it starts actually, and I'm sad to say, by people in the Hillary Clinton campaign. And they float the idea that Obama is somehow other. This will become the major theme of the Republican Party in all the races against him. Somebody sends out a thing about questioning where he was born. This starts with Clinton. It's a small thing. It's done under the table and stuff.
And let's make it clear. I don't think it was Hillary Clinton.
No, I don't think it was Hillary
people
Clinton.
People within her campaign.
People within her campaign. And the logic both Republicans and Democrats use for this kind of stuff is, and you saw it in the Republican campaign for president, they hammered Romney, you know, about Bain capital and Bain's kind of vulture capitalism. Right. It's legitimate, according to the logic, to attack your opponent in a primary for stuff that's going to emerge in the general election. So you can attack Romney about Bain if you're a Republican because, you know, when it's going to become a central thing in the election. Okay, the birther thing starts like that, and it spread. Now, what is surprising about the birther thing is that we know exactly, you know, when President Obama was born, August 4th, 1969. We know the exact hospital. He had a birth certificate from the beginning. There are two notices published contemporaneous with his birth, one in the Honolulu Advertiser and the other in the Honolulu Star Bulletin announcing his birth. Now, given the fact that he's got a birth certificate, there's all this testimony, personal testimony, he was born in Hawaii, and the fact there are two contemporaneous newspaper articles announcing his birth with his name and the whole thing. How could you doubt that he was born in the U.S.?
Well, that's it. And it's out of desperation, I think. Even conservative researchers and columnists will say that it's certainly born out of desperation. The inability for some people to accept a black president.
What's behind it? Why does this obvious even if you're Republican, why are you picking up on this? Why not pick up on a legitimate issue?
Because you'll pick up on anything that will illegitimize the presidency.
Right. There's a cynicism about means. Anything that will win you the election, you use.
One of the funny things I think about is that it totally ignores his mother's side of the family. I mean, he's called the first black president. Well, yes, he is. He is black in color and appearance, but he's also half Irish.
Yes,
and his mother is a citizen of the United States.
One of those apple pie stories on the other side. But he looks different.
I think
particularly the birther thing was particularly popular in the South. And, the president has never addressed the issue, but, you know, us white guys see a certain amount of real prejudice. And I think it's sort of gut level. People are used to seeing a white male as president of the United States. It's just kind of ingrained in the system. Here's a guy who doesn't look like the other presidents in that sense, who has a family that doesn't look like the other people. And so there's a resentment at the change, don't you think, Mike?
Yes, and what we're talking about is the impact of that, and part of the impact is that the Republican Party has to listen to the birthers, has to kind of please them at some point. So you have this lie that's out there, and it grew for a while. And now you have these
it
people
still
that
still hasn't gone away.
That, well, 13% as of last, but at least it's better than the 45% and the 23% that it had of the Republican Party believe that there's still some sort of birth anomaly with the president.
See, folks, the thing is that there was never any legitimate question. It's not like this is a one hand on the other. There was never any legitimate question, yet this becomes a huge campaign years and years.
Years. I don't want to get too far in. I mean, we're already way into the birther thing. We want to use this as an example of what a lie, what kind of impact.
Why does it have legs, Mike, Gary? Why does it have legs? Why does this obvious lie? Where is the energy coming from that makes this lie run like a race?
The evolution is that the desperation generates it. The people cling to it because
what kind of desperation, Mike?
Anything to discredit the black presidency.
Okay.
Yeah, white Southerners especially. So you give them this birther thing. They cling to it. Other people that will cling to it that are death creditors because Republican leadership isn't there. According to one,
so they have a political problem.
They have
too,
a political
they're
problem.
Losing. They're losing.
That's
the
right.
First election.
And then you have to please these guys that believe it. And like I said.
I was going to say I don't think it's entirely race. It's the fact that it's a black president who also has a liberal, what they perceive as a liberal agenda.
And happens to be a constitutional scholar.
Right.
Yeah. So we have this problem. We have this issue that has no basis in reality to really go anywhere. And there's all this energy behind it. It becomes a major issue. The birther issue goes on and on and on. And you can go to sources on the internet and the story goes on and on. It's complicated and it's got people who actually believe the birther stuff. You have cynics who want to use it to
right.
defeat the president. You have Republicans who refuse to denounce it or because they want to use it. And so there's a whole lot of people involved in it,
and the impact is self-destruction, of the people and the party that has to deal with it. In this case, the Republican Party.
In other words, it distorts the Republican Party, right, Mike?
Right. Yeah.
And then it distorts the American electorate because insofar as Americans are talking about birther stuff, instead of talking about the issues, that hurts our democracy overall, whatever your political position is, right?
Right. I'm going to take that the Pentagon Papers, you know, this was a lie, a series of lies, and it eventually decreased popularity, decreased support for the Vietnam War. Because once people discovered that they were being lied to, then it destroyed that kind of support. The lies were intended to create support for the war, and once the lies were discovered, then public support for the war was removed.
We should explain for the people that are younger than us that the Pentagon Papers
were just a series of lies about the Vietnam War.
Were secret papers, classified papers that Daniel Ellsberg released and was charged with releasing classified information, but they exposed the very lies that the Vietnam War was based on.
So we were in a very different situation there. If you were a young person in those days, there were very few sources of information. There was a French scholar who had written a history of Vietnam. There were some Americans who investigated what the Vietnamese thought about things, but there was no internet. What's changed now, for better or worse, we had very few sources of information. It was very hard to learn about the real situation. And that's why something like the Pentagon Papers had so much impact. Now we have the internet, and it's very easy to go find things, except half the things that you find are lies and distortions.
One of our sources talked about lying to win and lying to govern. And the Pentagon Papers is an example of lying to govern. And yes, what we want to talk about, I think, is the lies to win. And how.
They didn't think American people would support Vietnamese war if they actually talked about it honestly. And so they did a whole series of things to convince people, because they didn't want to be straight with the American people about what it was about.
One of the things that in the middle of all of this, to muddle it a little further, is that the Constitution's, you know, the free speech clause makes lying difficult to deal with. You can't, you know, it makes it difficult to expose, or that doesn't make it, you can't
that in a lazy press.
You can't
press.
Curb it.
Lazy press, but
well,
we also
are getting to now, yeah, the media
lazy
is what we want to talk about.
And media, but it's also true you can't really sue for defamation and be successful in the United States the way you can in Canada and Great Britain.
I used to teach an advertising course in college, and I began the course each semester with asking people which form of advertising can you most liberally lie. And, you know, the choices were political advertising or advertising for products and services. And the students almost invariably said that you could lie as much as you wanted with products and services. And you couldn't lie with political commercials. And
wow.
In fact, it's exactly
that's
the opposite.
That's naive, yeah.
Yeah. And so when I hear these hysterical things, and somebody said to me, well, Obama admitted he was born in Kenya. I went on the internet to see what this was about. And of course, it's farcical. He's making some sort of joke. And the other one, they've sort of lip sync stuff to him talking. And there are all these fraudulent things. Ambassador to Libya was raped. You can go on the internet and you can find where all these lies start. And it's some of the most vicious stuff. The other really vicious thing, I think, are these chain emails. And you, for instance, let's take the Kenyan birth certificate of President Barack Obama.
There you go.
Now, somebody had to fraudulently put this thing together.
That's right.
They stole the form from an Australian birth certificate. The president was born in 1961. The birth certificate says he was born in the Republic of Kenya, only the Republic of Kenya didn't exist until 1963. So it's an obvious fraud. Someone had to do that. There are people out there who deliberately manufacture false information. I don't know whether it's a deep destructive impulse or it's a cynicism about means. I don't like this guy, therefore anything I do.
Right.
I don't know what it is, Mike. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think there are people that pick up on that, you know, and take it to the next level. And then a lot of our sources suggested, and we want to get to this, and that's the media, the instant communication. If it seems worse, I guess the question is this growing? But we know there's been political lies since 1800. Jefferson and Adams, you know, told deceptions about each other.
Yeah, we have a very purified version of early American history and politics, but
right.
You know, it was pretty nasty even back then. But
so is
the
it
level
increasing?
Of media was so much cooler.
That's right.
And calmer that it didn't have, I don't think, the impact.
It's different now because the chain emails are a perfect example, and blogs and things on the internet are a perfect example of one side or the other talking to themselves. You know, the chain emails are passed along from one conservative to another to another to another.
Right.
And they're used to support, as ludicrous as most of them are, they're used to support an idea, an overall idea that this president, this administration, this government is corrupt. And so you get things like one of my favorites was an email that said Obama was removing crosses from the, you know, headstone crosses from the graves of the of fallen soldiers, and that he had banned prayer in the military academies. Well, when I did, it took me about 5 minutes to research the truth.
But somebody had to make up these lies.
I tracked it. You know, I was able to track it back to it originated by a female pastor in a church.
Who came up with the original lie.
And who came up with the original lie. She used photographs of military cemeteries in Europe where the headstones are the shape of a cross. And they've never been used in the United States. And in the United States, all of the gravestones are the same, but you can choose a religious symbol to put on the stone. And in reality, what she had based her email on was that the administration and the DOD working together had decided to expand the choices available to show your religion on your headstone.
Right. So you could have a Muslim symbol if a Muslim soldier is killed. And I mean, I think most of us have been to national cemeteries. But someone starts the lie, and then other people take it up for political reasons. And I think Gary and Mike, we all get right wing. We end up with the cleverer right wing chain emails. End up seeing them. And there's some astonishingly vicious stuff.
You guys might get them. They self-destruct before
I'll forward some to you.
People send them to me to just research them because they don't know how to research them themselves, and so I get them from liberals and from everyone that wants to know the truth.
I get them from occasional Democrats who are convinced of some of these. They don't really understand. What's being done? They manage to confuse not only Republicans and independents and really right wing and conservative folks, but they can confuse other people occasionally.
Let's talk about where all this leads. You know, it's things like the birther issue and all these chain emails are all kind of perpetuated by media, aided by the internet to talk to one and, to talk to themselves on their own side. But then the mainstream media and the cable news networks have to fill, lots and lots of hours of news programming. So they tend to pass this stuff along, asking people. They don't often venture. They don't debunk it. They don't often venture opinions on it. They simply ask, like Fox is famous for this, is ask their viewers to decide. You know, we aren't going to tell you what the truth is. We're just going to tell you what the accusation is, and you decide.
Right. Even on the birther issue, we have people, including one left-wing person who denounces Obama for not answering the birther lies more effectively. So we have the people who say, well, they really should answer this, and that's part of carrying this on. And there are people who do this cynically, and there are people, I think, who do it sort of innocently, right?
Well, I think the researchers agree with both of you, and that is the instant information, the constant information, and the lack of issues. In other words, so all these news outlets don't deal with the issues. They're either involved in entertainment, and they're involved with, like you just said, passing along whatever the current ratings growing lie might be. They're much more interested in passing along than investigating and asking the hard questions.
So, for example, there's a real debate in the country between liberals and most moderates and most economists about using the stimulus when you're in the middle of this recession, and they favor it, and then conservatives are against it. Explaining and exploring economic issues that we do on the show is a lot of work. We have to bring in experts. We have to talk. We have to analyze things. It's much easier to do the personality stuff or some sort of glib headline.
Well, the news media, I think, is afraid to take to be seen as taking a side. So they, you know, you have the classic talking heads from both sides that they bring onto a news show, and they have them yell at each other, and then they leave it up to the viewers to decide who is telling the truth. You know, the,
now
the,
that's if there are two sides to it, or two legitimate sides to it, then that makes sort of sense.
See,
right,
but, this is,
but if it's crazy
but,
stuff
but
like
that's they don't want to debunk an obvious lie because it ends up, you know, being seen as taking sides.
Yeah, well, and that's so wrong because it's not taking sides. It's just when one side is lost it. I mean, is being so unreasonable as to perpetuate birther lies and being so unreasonable to perpetuate policy lies about weapons of mass destruction and the ultimate decisions become really damaging to the country. I step back. I look at Obama gets accused of lying because he said he didn't raise taxes in 2011, and he raised taxes on cigarettes and tanning salons, and so they count that as a lie. But when Republicans lie, they lie about weapons of mass destruction. They lie about Social Security going broke. When even from the beginning, you know, when the lie was so popular that that it was going to go broke, that it, without any changes at all, 75% of the payouts could have been done, you know, until in perpetuity. So these are big lies, you know, getting caught in a lie, you know, Hillary Clinton softening her war record or something is one thing, but lying to deceive and then having the conservative echo chamber pick it up and to where the truth becomes years and years to sort out.
So you're arguing not about issues, right, Mike? You're arguing about lies. You spend all your time debunking something that just...
That's right.
It's like birtherism. It's preposterous from day one.
That's right.
That people want to believe because they want to believe it. And that's what you end up spending your time...
And that becomes the discussion.
And we're in the middle of the worst recession. We're recovering now. The deficit is actually going down, folks, each year. But we're in the middle of this absolute economic crisis, and birtherism is taking up huge public space.
And
right?
Benghazi.
And Benghazi is another example. And some of this is political when you watch the hearings and stuff. And some of it is obsessive. I think some of the senators are really obsessed about it. Part of the thing is, like, for example, with Benghazi, incident happens, and they and the press demands instant reporting. The instant reporting that we got was originally wrong, which was there's a demonstration that evolved into it. And as we talked about on the Benghazi thing, it's not just American, the Japanese press, the Chinese press, the French press all reported this story. That was the original story. And I suggest, folks, whenever something happens, and whether it's, you know, one of these terrible shootings, wait until all the information comes out. It's going to take a while. The number of people, who's killed, what happened, it takes a while. Your first reports are almost always partially wrong.
The problem I see is that the media has changed. Cronkite, when I worked for a time at CBS or a CBS affiliate, Cronkite used to say that his job wasn't to tell the facts. His job was to tell the truth. And in fact,
right,
he was the primary reason, along with the Pentagon Papers, was the primary reason that Vietnam War ended. Because he went to Vietnam and he exposed the truth. When Mike talked about the echo chamber, you know, we have now a big chunk of our media that 92% of talk radio of you know, radio like this is right-wing conservative. And it's based on things like Rush Limbaugh is famous for his ditto head idea that he won't allow anybody to call in with a question or a comment unless they agree with him. And they're screened in advance before they get on. So you now have a huge portion of our media that simply repeats ideology.
Yeah, and I worked at CBS News for a while in New York, And there are plaques and pictures of Edward R. Murrow all over the place. He's like the saint of CBS. And the reason he's the saint is he stood truth to power against Joseph McCarthy. And that's the tradition that was in CBS News. CBS News did a lot of things. They secretly let the CIA look at all their film material, all their video material. They had CIA agents sitting in there. So it's not a pure thing. And it's, I'm not sure they could have kept the government out of there, but they did have this standard. They did have this vision. And, you know, my dad, we were Catholic in Oklahoma, and where they worked, they had pictures of JFK up on the wall, and he was like an icon for them. He was, his sense of fairness, his trying to get the country going again, and they always referred to him as John F. Kennedy. They never referred to him as John Kennedy. So CBS has that tradition, and you did see some of it. I agree with you with back with Walter Cronkite.
Speaking of purity, we want to talk about our sponsoring organizations. We have to take a little break from our truth discussion. We have two other truths to talk about: Democrats of the Red Rocks and their meetings. When do they meet, Steve? You're president
the
of this organization.
One, the next meeting is Thursday, February 21st. We have, and Democrats of Red Rocks have a lot of partisan speakers, that is, guys who are running for office, and some of them are as good as anyone else.
A lot
else.
Of political activity.
And we have a lot of nonpartisan speakers, and the speaker this next, in 2 weeks, is going to be addressing the cases before the Supreme Court. Glenn Phelps. He's from the NAU.
I'm sorry.
And it's a nonpartisan discussion of what are the cases in front of the Supreme Court. So we have both kinds of issues. How about Dove? What's Dove up to?
Dove. Democrats of the Verde Valley has a few hawks in it as well as.
Fourth Thursday of every month in the evening at 6:30, and this month we have Fred Duvall,
who we had on the radio a couple of weeks ago,
show, and he's considering running for governor of the state of Arizona. So. Yeah. Everyone's welcome to either of our meetings.
Both Dove and Dore get some great candidates. I know that Felicia Rodellini is declared for.
May declare next week.
When and if she declares
when
for.
And if she declares,
well, I'm sorry,
she
you're absolutely
candidate.
Right. When yeah, and if she declares.
She has not declared. She has not declared, absolutely not.
The lawyers.
How do we sum it up? I think is it everybody's responsibility to sort of debunk stuff and to use some critical faculty?
Well, that education is the key. The researchers also tell us that education is the key to debunking the truth. The other thing that happens.
That doesn't mean you have to be a professor. That
lies.
Means you have to use common sense. When you see the birth certificate and you see that there are these newspaper announcements, common sense, American common sense would tell you that's not going to be an issue.
Liars will usually overreach. In other words, political lies especially, sooner or later they're going to overreach. Go ahead, Gary. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I think one of the keys is to exposing yourself to media from the other side. Knowingly, instead of just, you know, listening to people who agree with you and tell you what you want to hear, listen to people from the other side. Read as much as you can. Education is a great debunker.
Look at the source of the information you're getting and the other information they give at their record. I think one of the things that disturbs Democrats, and well, you know, and you hear it a lot, is that you have distortions, and the people who make, say, false predictions, wrong predictions, get recorded on and on. Nobody ever looks at the record. So look at the history of, if somebody's been wrong about everything, that's probably not, the next thing he says is not necessarily going to be the best thing.
Or if it's coming from a pundit from one side, you might recognize it as partisan.
VVID.org. That's our website.
That is our website.
And you'll find podcasts from the last 2 years. And
that's right. All kinds of great podcasts there. Noam Chomsky's there. Aviva Chomsky. Jamie Galbraith.
Yeah, and Gary writes brilliant stuff about commentaries on our programs.
Well, brilliant might be an overpromise.
Well, I would say brilliant.
He does great summaries of stuff like this, especially stuff like this where we went in a lot of directions. So VVID.org, folks, go there and have a good day. Watch out the snow. It's kind of fun.
And listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.